Good morning, Doc. Wow, that was really good. I just listened to your podcast, or oddcast, or I don't know what we're going to call it. I call them voicemail casts. You know, I think of it as an open voicemail, because as you well know, we would somewhat frequently do that. And I do that with a lot of people. I've cast all these, like, one-to-one voicemails all over the universe, and it's sort of like, I don't know, it's kind of like a prank that's meant to survive me, you know, and that maybe, like, after I'm gone. You know, I want to say something. I'm glad we're having these talks before either of us died, okay? I know that sounds morbid, but I think really very often, by the way, I have an outline here too, I want to say. So I'm wandering. Usually I do it without a net. I don't have an outline, and I'm just a written outline. I have it outlined in my head. And I have a place I'm trying to get to. And so I have to always, like, really be on guard that I remember how to find my way back to where I was going. But it's kind of liberating in a way to have, I don't know, this is an hour's worth of ideas I have here. So there's no way I'm covering all this. I guess the one thing I wanted to say to you is that I don't think you should feel obligated to listen to everything I send you, number one, because nobody else does. I want to be really clear about it. The other people don't, and it's not my intention to create something that is anything other than what you want to do, right? So I want to make that really clear. I mean that. I'm not just saying that. I really mean it. And you can, you know, in massage school, one of the things they used to say is that, you know, we had tapes. That was kind of how, I mean, we had a teacher and actually a group of teachers, and then they would, you know, give one-to-one instruction, and then they would talk to the class. But the most of the learning happened with the tapes, and, like, you listen to them over and over and over again. And that's one kind of talking, and it's very good, because my teacher's name was Elaine Marie, and I still have the intro tape. Not sure if it plays anymore. It's been a long time, but I have her voice in my head, and all the time in certain situations. I mean, massage was more than just I don't know. You know, this is one of those branches that I don't even have in my outline, so let's just not go there right now. Okay, and I was talking about some other stuff, and I don't remember what it was. First of all, I think I may now know what more means to you. Because that was always kind of like, and it's not just you that I'm trying to figure that out, because I hear people say that. I hear them say, I really miss more, or more was the greatest product, or it did, you know, it was just, whatever, I wish you'd bring more back. They would say that to me. And I'd say, well, do me a favor, go use LO2 and then tell me what's missing, and then I would know what to add. Because I think of more, I use it, okay? I used it and I still use it, okay? That's the weird thing. Because I guess more was just this, like, as I said, it was a grab bag. We just threw everything we had in it. There was just no thought about, you know, whatever, because this was going to, could easily have been our last chance to ship this line of products. So we just put everything into it. And I think because of that, I really do think that people picked up on certain threads in it. I mean, there are certain common things that I know. I mean, because I also know, like, how people use the product, or the design of the product, what choices we made and why. And at the core, there's, like, whatever. There's with the mouse interactions, there's the keyboard interactions, there's reorganization, there's viewing, and there's editing. And then everything else is hooked onto that. You know, everything else is just like an add-on. And that's the core of the product. And that's the core of the concept. It's like, you know, every application has a data structure that, and then that data structure determines what it's good at doing. And so, you know, it was really interesting. Also, this is, I'm going to stop saying whether something's on my outline. That's boring. You know, there was this whole thing in the 80s, you know, we hit a vein. I wouldn't say it's a mother lode. It was just like really just a vein in sort of, we're all miners looking for things that work, that resonate, that, you know, ideas that when you put them into practice actually turn out to be usable and useful. That was how I came up with outlining, was just by sort of trying out ideas and seeing if they worked or not, you know. I also remember very clearly the moment at which my fate was completely cemented. I was standing in the doorway of Pete Ferren's workspace in our house that we rented in, outside of Los Gatos in Chemaquita Park. And I said to him, I was going on vacation to Jamaica for a week to see my uncle who was down there. And I said, you know, Pete, the way this thing really should work... And I described expand and collapse and then drag to reorganize. And because we had a completely different model, a more basic, much simpler art, the model we had worked. It would take like 4 more years to get that model that I described to Pete to work. We didn't know at the time. So while I was in Jamaica, he whipped it up. Because programmers, we all like to work on new shit. It's really, you know, only these days I have to say I really like working on mature stuff because... I'm getting to a new level of completion and product that I've never reached before because of the attention I'm able to give to each component. And also what's really good about what we're doing now, this is a confluence, you know, take care of yourself, Doc, because I need what you're doing, is that outlining without outliner users, it's kind of pointless. I can't really do it. That's why outlining on the web... hasn't taken off. It should. Actually, that's not entirely true. There are outliners out there that people love. I've had people, this really drives me crazy. I've had people say, my husband told me that you had the original idea for this XXX, which I use all the time and I love, and I wanted to thank you for that. And I go, I want that to be my outliner. These outliners, there's like 2 or 3 of them out there, and they're popular, and they make money because that's how they stay around. They charge people money to use them. Not that I have any intent to do that with LO2. That's not what's going on here. I'm interested in getting the ball rolling and, you know, and in starting to create products in concert with actual users like you, Doc. And by the way, it's users and developers party together, not dig together. You always do that. It's like the original thing was not dig, it was party. You invented that. If you want to take credit for that, go for it. I don't like it. Also, ThinkTank was not a thought processor. It was an idea processor. I know a lot of people said thought processor, and it used to drive me crazy because I always thought of a thought processor as... a very much a sort of totalitarian, you know, mind control sort of thing. And I didn't like the connotations of it. I much prefer idea processor, you know, because like nobody wants your ideas. They're just yours, right? So it's a kind of very personal thing. I felt idea processor was far more what this thing was good for, at least for me. I mean, that, you know, for me, the use of an outliner, I mean, well... I don't even think I could explain it at this point because I couldn't conceive of the things that... I've been doing this for 40 years, honestly. I mean, so there is no way to explain it in terms of other software. I don't know how to do that because I've never used anything other than... If I have a list to make, you know, that's an outline. And I have a collection of lists, that's also an outline. Okay. All right. Where are we at here? 9 minutes. Okay, I need to bring you back to the 3 things I asked you to do, and I haven't heard back from you on that yet. So this is, we go from the sublime to the specific. And here were the 3 things. Number 1, write a blog post in LO2. Oh, that's because you haven't listened to the latest voicemail cast. That's what you said. the one that I recorded yesterday. Was that? Yeah, 21-minute voicemail guest to Doc. Just yesterday. God, things, so much happens these days. Okay, so one, write a blog post in LO2 and send me a link. What I mean by that is just write a blog post. We're not publishing anything. You're just like, write it. Oh, fuck, listen to the fucking podcast. Hell with it. Number two was create an AWS account. And number three was use the Outliner as a file system. I'm not going to repeat what's in the that podcast. You should listen to that before you listen to this one. Anyway, so now I know what more means to you. That integral to, so let me see, I wrote it down. Okay, this is what you said. Think out loud and turn it into a talk. And I get that. I understand that. I get it. I don't give that many talks, but when I do a talk, that's exactly what I do. So I have a question for you, Doc. This is to see if you're paying attention. Would you like bullet charts in LO2? Because I will add them if you want them. I will give you a package that at first, the first version I give you will be my approximation of how more worked. And then you'll tell me what I got wrong. Or if it gives you other ideas, you'll give me those ideas. And we're going to iterate over that until you feel like you're in the place where you think out loud and turn it into a talk. Your word. This is going to be, and you, this is your phrase. You can tweak it up any way you want. But this is going to be something like one of our mottos here. Think out loud and turn it into a talk. See, a presentation product, in my opinion, has to be good at doing both of these things. And I understood, believe me, I understood what PowerPoint was doing. In fact, there's a story that goes with that. We had a thing that never really got off the ground called Broadway, which was started, it started off as a PowerPoint and then had the Outliner added to it. And we already had outlining technology. We could put it into anything we wanted to. And because we understood the outlining, we were going to do it right. Whereas we figured the PowerPoint guys wouldn't get around to doing it for years unless somebody forced them to by competing with them. Or we could do it. And then we would at least have a segment of the market. And so we were not very far along in this when Microsoft came knocking at the door and said, we want to buy your company. And so I gave them the, sort of the outline of what Broadway was. And they said, great, that's exactly what we were hoping you'd say. And they thought Broadway was the product and that more, oh, we'll just put more in the Microsoft product line. I remember they brought in, it was like really incredible, Doc. I have to say that experience was really, I mean, it gives me goosebumps. I mean, you know, it's like, it was like going into a bank. Let's say you walked into a bank and you had $50 million or something like that. And so that you signed a deal with the president of the bank and, you know, you're going to do your banking with them from now on. And they, you'd go into the place and of course they treat you really well. And then various different people would come in and say, well, I'm going to provide this service for you and I'm going to provide this service and this service. Well, that's what it was like. And this was, by the way, this would have been the first acquisition Microsoft did. So these people had no experience in this context doing acquisitions. However, it's important to note, they had hired people who were good at acquisitions from other companies. So they had a good checklist and it was fun. It was really fun. And they were saying, you know, well, of course, more will fit right in our product line. Here's, and I knew when I heard that, I mean, I was both very happy to hear it, but I also knew we had a big problem because more was the only product we had. Broadway was just, and they figured it out, of course. And then they just said, well, thanks. I got a call from Frank Gaudet, who was the CFO. Really nice guy. And, I mean, lovely. And from Queens. He was from Queens. And he said, you're going to get a call from Bill in 15 minutes, and you're not going to like it. He was right about that. I did not like it. And anyway, We all wanted to be bought by somebody big. And Microsoft was, in my opinion, way the fuck better than Apple to be bought by. I mean, because, you know, we were living hand to mouth there. And that's why we threw everything we had at Moore, because we were so, you know, in such dire straits as a company, just riding this roller coaster of feast or famine, you know, is that once you sort of hit a peak, which is what we did with Moore. I mean, Moore was good. It was like, you know, it did a good, what we called a pipe fill, because it was a distribution system back then. And it did a really good pipe fill, and it didn't die. It didn't just die off. Like a lot of our releases, like Ready was like that. We did a huge pipe fill on Ready, and a lot of money came in. It was great. But then, layoffs. Anyway, yeah. So if you want that, we can do that. And I welcome the opportunity to do it. If we're going to, I'm happy to work on Think Out Loud, turn it into a talk. All right. I love the stuff that you said about, you know, back in DaveNet days. You know, Doc, the way I look at every endeavor, every human endeavor, every work product that people produce, and that writing, of course, is one of those things. I view it the way a programmer views a piece of software, the way a responsible programmer views a real honest-to-goodness piece of software with users, is that if somebody's telling me something's wrong with it, I've got to listen really carefully to that person and try to figure out what is happening, you know? And the better they are at explaining it, the more I like it, because I get better information, I get a whole point of view, and sometimes I get ideas for features from that. I learn about bug fixes that I need to make. And yeah, every programmer, if they're serious about what they do, they really like getting bug reports, because if it really is a bug, which a good bug report you can tell if it is, you know, then you're going to get rid of a bug and your product's going to be a little bit better, maybe a lot better, you know. Maybe people were crashing all over the place and you just didn't know about it because it didn't crash on your machine. That's what happened just now with I forget the name of the software that didn't like scripting.com from EFF. I don't like what they do, Doc. I really don't. They just like, they're always just like, you know, just watch the Super Bowl. They're always trying to tackle me. And I don't know that they really mean to be doing it, but it just is what happens. It comes from not understanding the world that they live in very well, to be honest with you. They aren't inquisitive. They don't ask questions. Same thing with Google. Google has no idea what the fucking web is. They certainly don't understand anything about the web from my point of view. And of course, to me, that's a very important point of view. You know, you like the fact that DaveNets, all the DaveNets are still available online. That was a very important part of the mission of what I was doing, was for once to try to create something that had some lasting value. And I thought the web was an incredibly good place to do that, because it was what I call the platform with no platform vendor. Nobody could fuck it up. There was nobody that had the power to do it. Well, lo and behold, give it enough times, somebody like Google comes along and amasses enough power that they may well have the ability to do it. And you know, the day that happens, well, actually, by the way, I have a plan for that. Now let's see if I can execute it. That's why having the users is so important, because like, why work if you don't have anybody using the shit, you know? I mean, that's what, I mean, I've really gotten off the product that I do for myself, Electric Outliner and Old School. And those are two really sweet pieces of software. And I'm the only users of either one. And they've gotten a lot of love and care and more and more all the time. And I'm inclined, well, we'll see what happens. Okay, those three things I gave you, little exercises, and I'm asking other people to do them too. Like Anton Zucker, I think you know Anton. He's from North Carolina. He works at Duke, and he's been with us a very, very long time. And I asked him to do the three things on the list, and he did them. And he gave me an outline, and its outline, of course, is beautiful. I will link to it. I'll try to remember to link to it from this post. If I don't, nag me, tell me, whatever. I will. It's on my list, actually. Yeah, you've given me a shitload of ideas. I haven't gotten to a tiny little fraction of it. I just want to say about Bernie DeKoven. Bernie worked with us at Living Videotext for a few, couple of years. He had this thing called meeting technology and technography. And he was right. I mean, it was like, it's something, it's another one of those lost arts that, you know, it's like BloggerCon. It's like, you know, you talk about this, you talk briefly about that conference in New York and how you said, yes, I've written a lot about this and I know a lot. And if you don't have a speaking role for me, I really, and I'm not going to pay for it, but if you don't have a speaking role for me, I just can't come, you know? And of course, BloggerCon, well, how many years ago was that? 2003? So that's 17 years ago, was the answer to that. And yeah, it's kind of a lost art. But basically they're, well, I don't want to go into details on that. So Bernie, the thing that Bernie was doing, and we use this at Living Videotext, and it really worked. You project an outliner, and somebody in the room plays the role of technographer. And, you know, I was thinking we would do this at BloggerCon, the fourth and last one, where you and I were up front and you were taking notes. But it was not technography, because the key thing about technography, when it works, it's like one of these things where it's not like I know it when I see it. It's like there is a definition for what it is. And I'm not sure I can totally put it into words, but where the outline becomes a part of the discussion, where people in the room actually start referring to sections of the outline and then giving orders to the technographer, move this one up, move this one under the other one. You know, you see that the item down there, you know, in other words, you have to have English words for these things. The technographer's job is to do what people ask them to do, or to, and they have judgment too. The idea is to come out of whatever meeting you're in with a very concrete, visible action plan that everybody has seen and has had a chance to find the bugs in, you know. So we're going to ship a product. We're going to have a meeting about this. I'm going to come in there with some ideas. I'm going to project them on screen as an outline, not as bullet charts. And then we're going to come out of the meeting with items for each group, you know, because when we would ship a product, the people in the room, you know, some of them would be from documentation. Some would be from testing. Of course, there would be people from programming. There would be marketing people at later stages and maybe even earlier stages. You know, there were all kinds of meetings we would have. Like we would do a meeting. We had a Friday lunches at the company. And sometimes when we were, you know, we would demo the products when they were very early stages so that people would have an idea of what we were working on. You know, everybody should know this. There was no limit. If you were at the lunch, you got to find out what we were doing. It's not like anybody had any privilege. Knowing what the company was doing was something that was meant to permeate all aspects of the company. But then there would be meetings where, you know, there'd be the head of each group or the person from the group who was doing the work on this specific project. And we're going to come out of here and you're going to have a list of things to do. And you better be okay with that before we leave, because that's what you're going to do. And obviously things change and they evolve. You know, realities come in, things are late, you know, things don't turn out the way you thought they would. Something is much more expensive than you, you know, it's, you get it, right? But this is a whole new way. And people to this day don't do it. We knew how to do this in the 80s. And there were some people that tuned in. I think Tom Peters was. The problem with it is that it's like all things related to outliners, is that really most people are not willing to make the investment. They just aren't willing to do that. And so that's why the difference between PowerPoint and Think Tank, or PowerPoint and More, and why PowerPoint was so successful and deserved to be, is because it was a production tool. And those are the things that really, up to the point of the web, those were the things that sold. The web changed that. For that reason, I think outlining should actually work pretty well on the web. It's just been, we never got our shit together here. And that's kind of what I'm trying to do here. You know, I've had some people say, I want to do this. I said, great, follow along, please do it. But if you make feature requests, I'm really here listening to Doc. That's who I'm really doing this for, okay? I haven't actually said that to anybody because if I put that into an email, that would sound terribly harsh, right? But it is the truth. It's how I stay focused. You are the representative of the kind of user that I do not have a connection with now. And by doing this iterative process, I'm hoping that this becomes attractive to those kinds of people and that we develop a nice little user community here and we see where it goes. Because believe me, well, we've got like incredibly more technology to play with now than we did in the 80s. Think about that, Doc. And that's where I'm going to try to leave it because 30 minutes is plenty and I'm heading pretty close to 30. I'm at 26 minutes plus now. And I wanted this desperately. I wanted networking in the outliners. And Living Video Text, I was looking around. There were three email products for the Mac. Yeah. There was Think Technologies, there was Internet, and Quick Mail from CE Software. Those are the three products. So I was talking with all of them, except for Think Technologies. I was talking with them too. But we eventually did the deal with Think Technologies, but only once we were in Symantec, and we never got to do the integration. The idea was to integrate the networking in an email app what did email mean in those days? It meant networking. It was the Apple, the Macintosh networking APIs were impenetrable, or at least, I wasn't programming at all on the Mac in those days. So I could only go by what the developers were able to produce, and nobody was getting anywhere on that. So I tried to go outside to get it, and we never did. Never did. And of course, in Frontier, we had it, but the butt is there is we didn't have any users like you in that community. And nobody really got the networking. Oh, I didn't get the networking vision either. I mean, I was fumbling around in the dark. I mean, I had this, intuition that networking and outlining are very important together. And over the years, I've tried out a lot of ideas, but I've really been the only user. There may have been others. I'm not saying I don't know that there were others. There might have been there, but I don't know that they were there. And so if I don't know that they're there, that's about the same as them not being there. Because this whole thing is about communication. It's about learning from what the user experience is, getting the ideas from their point of view, So anyway, I'm kind of rambling, but this is like, there's the carrot that's hanging out there is that, yeah, we've got the outlining and the idea processing stuff. We've got that down. You want bullet charts? You got them. I'm going to totally know how to do that. Believe me, it was one of the first things I wanted to do when I got the outliner running in the browser. So I've got code and, it's a question of which code I'm going to use for this, not can I get this working? Because I've got a bunch of different approaches I can use. But we've never had the ability to network this stuff. Now we're going to get there. That's why I asked you to do the AWS account. Very, very, very important. I shouldn't say that. It's important to me. Let's put it that way. Yeah. It's important to me. It remains to be seen whether it's very, very, very important. But I can't really do much with networking without that. You could give me another server, but I don't want to use another server. I want to use Amazon because their APIs get cloned, so it doesn't limit me to Amazon. And they're very reliable and they're very cheap. And it's a really good place to start. So anyway, with that in mind, I'm over my 30 minutes. And this was really interesting. And I'll talk to you soon. Okay, bye-bye.